All right, well, this story is called Before the Sunrise. And Mary hesitantly crept out of her room. Jude stirred on the floor as she creaked the door closed. It was nice of him to stay with her. This was a day she did not look forward to starting, certainly not alone. Silent tears already streaked her face. She held a candle with two hands. The flickering light was accentuating the wrinkles in her face and making her appear much older than her age of 49. Another candle illuminated the main room and would be the only source of light until the sun rose in a couple of hours. John's head rested on his hands, and he lifted his eyes and gave her a sad look of recognition. A peaceful Sabbath to you, Mary. Were you able to get any sleep? Shabbat shalom, she answered. As much as you, I imagine. It was nice of you to stay tonight. I think he wanted me to, he replied. And of course, I'm honored to help in any way I can. Mary unexpectedly broke into exasperated tears as she sat down across the table from him. What do you think he meant by that? What he said on the cross? I don't know, Mary. I guess he wants us to look after each other. But I have sons. Daughters, too. Is something going to happen to them, too? I can't take any more. I lost Joseph. And now Jesus. And I can't lose anyone else. I know, Mary. I know. I don't know what he meant. Maybe he just meant that you needed to take care of me. Or maybe he just wants me to help you through this time. I don't know. Let's not worry about that now. You've got enough on your mind. I'm just so confused. None of this makes any sense. None of it. How could this happen? Where was God yesterday? This world is so evil. Did you see the crowd chanting for him to be crucified? Why would they do that? Why? What had he ever done to them? He healed them. He embraced them. He loved them so much. How could they be so evil? And Pilate, I could tell, I know people. Pilate didn't want to kill him. He was going to let him go, and then he just washed his hands, his stupid hands, and turned his back. And it's like evil overtook us like a sandstorm. I feel so sick. It makes me want to vomit. This all makes no sense. John scooted back his chair and maneuvered around the table. Giving her a hug, he whispered again and again, I don't know. I don't know. She sobbed in his arms for several minutes as they exchanged quiet words of comfort. Jude woke up, came into the room, and wordlessly embraced them both. Finally, Mary straightened up and said, Let me get you boys something to eat. They both protested at first, but quickly gave in and allowed her to serve them, realizing that she needed a break from her grief. As she busied herself for a few moments, Jude offered his condolences and love. She pulled out some bread and figs and put them on the table. As she grabbed a bowl of dried fruit, she paused for a moment and studied it. Resisting the urge to praise Jesus' craftsmanship in front of Jude, she placed it on the table alongside the figs. Reading her mind, Jude huffed, It's okay, Mom. It's a beautiful bowl. You can say it. Jesus was an amazing craftsman, I can't deny that, and an amazing person, too. But you other boys were talented, too, Mary defended. It's just that Jesus was special, Jude added as she trailed off. It's hard for a brother to accept, but it's impossible to deny. Jesus was special. You can be proud of him, Mom. He reached out to her, and they hugged for a moment before she sat at the table, subconsciously stroking the intricacies of its hand-carved edge. He was special, John reminisced. Jesus could hardly be spoken of without someone breaking into some fond memory. I remember when Jesus first called me and James to follow him. I knew he was special right from the beginning. John, the Baptist, had said Jesus was the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. So I knew he was something special, and he said to us, come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And I thought, I don't know what that means, but that sounds better than fishing. And to be honest, I thought I could be special too. I thought Jesus was going places, and maybe I could ride on the back of his robe a while. Mary and Jude smiled at him, and he went on, do you remember that wedding at Cana? That was crazy. He made all that wine? I mean, how do you make wine out of water? He stopped for a moment and studied Mary's face. He wasn't sure if these stories would be encouraging or not, but she seemed a little brighter, so he continued. And remember that woman by the well? They both nodded and smiled. They had all heard these stories 100 times. I guess when we were at town, he got into this conversation with her and told her all about her life, her past marriages and stuff. It was crazy, and I could tell that it completely rocked her world. She knew that he was the Messiah. I mean, I don't understand it now, but somehow he must have been, or must be, or whatever. I don't know. He kept talking about belief. Remember that? I remember early in his public ministry when he said, God so loved the world that he sent his only son. And I'm sure he was talking about himself. That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I wonder if that's what we need to do now. Believe. Mary shook her head as if that was just too hard. Jude finally responded, John, I did believe. I don't know what to believe now. I don't know. What do you think we should believe? I don't know, Jude. Remember what he said to Martha? I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And then Jesus asked her, like making a point of it, do you believe this? He wanted us to believe him. Jude questioned, are you saying that we should believe that he'll come back to life like Lazarus? I don't know if I can believe that. Lazarus was just dead. It wasn't like he was crucified or stabbed. He looked over at Mary and suddenly realized the inappropriateness of his comments in the presence of his grieving mom. I'm sorry, Mom. I didn't mean to. I should just shut up. John answered, I don't think so. Not exactly, but maybe we should still believe that he's the Messiah, that, I mean, his message lives on, that he was still really the Son of God. That didn't die on the cross, did it? Didn't we see enough to believe? How else could Jesus be who Jesus was? How did he heal people? How did he raise people from the dead? How did he know our thoughts? How did he know that Judas would betray him? He had to be the Son of God. I don't understand what's happened, but it doesn't change everything, does it? He looked at Jude and waited for an answer. Jude, does it? Jude responded, it's hard to know what to do with it all, what to think, what to believe. Everyone sat silent for a moment till Jude looked at Mary. Mom? He took her hand. Mom, could you tell us the story of this birth again? Maybe it would just take our minds off of all of this. Or, I don't know, maybe something will come clear. Of course, Judy. You know I'd love to talk about that. She leaned back in her wooden chair, wiped at her puffy face, closed her eyes, and tried to escape to another time, another place. I was just a little girl, she started. I did love God, but I was just a little girl, 15 when the angel first came, but I was normal. She smiled softly. John set a cup of water next to her, and she nodded at him in appreciation, continued. I had this doll, And I had gotten her on my fifth birthday from my cousin Elizabeth. You know, my aunt, really. But I had slept with her my whole life, and I was lying in bed, and I was playing with her, wondering what I would do with her when I married Joseph. I sensed the room lighten. I looked up, and this angel was standing there, and he greeted me. I scooted back, but my bed was against the wall, and I had nowhere to go. I pulled my blanket up to my chin and just stared at him. He tried to comfort me, but I'm sure I was trembling like a leaf. He told me I was going to have a baby, and, well, you know, I was just confused. I thought I knew how babies were made, but I thought maybe there was something I'd misunderstood. Joseph and I hadn't even kissed. So I asked him about this, and he said that the Holy Spirit would come upon me and overshadow me, and that Jesus would be the Son of God. Mary's eyes sparkled now, but she looked up and saw John and Jude. It was brought back into the present reality, and the smile slipped from her face. She took a sip from her cup and set it thoughtfully on the table. "But I'm getting ahead of myself," she continued. "Before we talked about that, Gabriel, the angel, told me that I should name the baby Jesus and said Jesus would be great, and he would be called the Son of the Most High. And he said the Lord God would give him the throne of David and that he would reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom would never end." John unintentionally raised his eyebrows as she answered his unspoken question. "And yes, I'm sure Gabriel said that. His kingdom will never end." Mary gazed up into an unlit corner of the room and repeated herself again. "His kingdom will never end." She paused for a moment and added, "And that was it. I was a brave little soldier and said, 'I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said.' And I hugged my doll as tight as I could. And the angel took flight and passed right through the roof." I forgot to mention, the angel said that Elizabeth was going to have a baby too. I had a million questions about angels and having a baby and talking to my parents and explaining it all to Joseph. And I thought there seemed to be some kind of connection to her, so I didn't tell my parents why, but I asked them if I could go visit Elizabeth the next day. I hurried off to see her. And it was amazing. She had also received a message from the Lord about her baby through her husband. An angel appeared to him too. And she knew about Jesus. I was all worried about what to say to her. But I didn't even have to tell her. She just knew. And she even said that her baby, still in her womb, seemed to know too. She looked over at John. "It's funny you should talk about how we need to believe. That's one of the things Elizabeth said to me. She said, 'Blessed is she who's believed what the Lord has said will be accomplished.' And I'm sure it sounds funny now, but that was hard to do in those days. I replayed it in my mind a million times. Even though I'd seen an angel, it was so hard to believe. But then, of course, I started feeling the baby move inside me, and I knew it was more than just a dream. Something special was happening to me, and I guess to all of us, maybe even to the world. I wrote a song at that time. I used to sing it all the time." Mary got up and went to a corner of the room where there were several small scrolls and a wide-mouthed clay jar. She pulled out one of the more tattered scrolls and unrolled it, and she started to sing. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." I'm sorry, I can't. "Not now. You can finish it." She pushed the partially open scroll to Jude, and he restarted the song. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. That's a beautiful song, Mary, John said. Jude nodded in agreement. Mary continued, "By the time I went back to Nazareth, I was just starting to show, so I thought I should tell Joseph right away. I knew it was going to be hard for him to understand, but he looked so disappointed. He tried so hard to believe me and asked me again and again about the angel and what he had said and about Elizabeth and what she had said, but of course it was all pretty unbelievable. But he was so kind about it, and he said he would pray about what to do. Later, he told me that he had been planning to break things off, but then an angel appeared to him too. And the angel told him that Jesus would save people from their sins. And the next morning, as soon as it was appropriate, he came to me and apologized for not believing me. We both laughed and cried, and we started planning what we would do next. We knew that people would not believe us. If we told them what really happened, they would think we were liars and crazy too. But we were so worried and excited and young. But we knew that no matter what, we had each other and love, and we would get through it together. Mary smiled in fond remembrance. But you know how plans are. Everything just kept getting crazier. I remember when Caesar issued his decree, everyone was supposed to go to their own town for a census. And it was an almost unheard of decree. And we thought maybe since I would be so far along that maybe there would be an exception. But the Romans didn't have much use for exceptions, so off we went. I was so afraid for the baby. But we made it. Bethlehem was so crowded that we had to stay in a stable. I hardly got off the donkey before Jesus came. We were so exhausted and excited and relieved. After we cooed over the baby for an hour, Joseph found an old manger in the corner of the stable. He put some fresh hay in it. We wrapped him and laid him down. I laid down next to him, and Joseph tried to make me feel comfortable. He felt so bad that I had to give birth without my family or anyone to help me. Joseph was arranging our things and taking care of the donkey, and I was just starting to relax when some men came up to the stable. One of them approached Joseph and asked, "Did your wife just have a baby?" At first, I was embarrassed and thought I'd cried out so loud I'd drawn someone's concern or irritation. But soon I realized they were excited. They were shepherds, and they enthusiastically told us that a great company of heavenly angels had appeared to them, and that one of them told them that a Savior had been born, and that he was Messiah, and that they would find him lying in a manger in Bethlehem. That sure seemed like it had to be about us. I really wanted to sleep, but they were just glowing with excitement, so we stayed up until daybreak and told them the whole story. It was all so crazy. Just a moment. Mary stood up and walked back to her room. She returned with a blanket wrapped over her shoulders. Jude prompted her to continue, asking about the two people they met at the temple. Mary went on, "Well, we returned to Jerusalem, and on the eighth day, we took him to the temple to offer a sacrifice. There was a man there, his name was Simeon. He was old. He was standing there and was seemingly waiting for us, although we didn't know him and had never met him. He asked if he could hold Jesus, and as a new mom, I was nervous about letting an old man hold my baby. I didn't know if he had enough strength, but Joseph motioned to me, told me to let him take the baby. Simeon cuddled him. He uncovered Jesus' face and he started to cry. He said the Spirit had told him he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. And he seemed to know that Jesus was the one. And then he asked us to pray with him. And he prayed something like this: Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and glory to your people, Israel. Then he handed Jesus back to me. We were marveling in what Simeon had said. And then this widow, Anna, came up, and she was excited too. She was in her 80s, but she was raising her arms and dancing around and praising God, telling everyone about Jesus. It was an amazing time. And of course, you boys remember the wise men. They came not long after that. I was starting to think that visitors and well-wishers and people who had seen visions would be a regular part of our lives. They also asked to see Jesus. I remember one of them, tired from his journey, sat on the end of our table. Not this one, of course. And the legs broke and it crashed to the ground. He felt so bad. Anyway, they worshiped Jesus, and then they left us with gold and incense and myrrh. After they left, Joseph sold it all and gave the money to the temple. I asked him if we could at least take out enough to pay for a new table. But he said we had everything we needed and that he could fix the table. And that's the one we used for the next 12 years until Jesus made this one. Joseph was a good man. Silence fell on the room. Mary fidgeted with the table again. John appeared to be in deep thought, running his fingers through his hair. Jude was piecing it all together, slowly nodding his head. He stretched back his arms, unstiffened his back, and said, "You're right, John. We've got to believe. We've got to trust God, no matter what. Jesus was from God. There's no doubt about that. We've got to believe that God has a plan through this." On finishing her story, Mary stood up and walked to the window. She peeked through a crack in the shutters. "It's still so dark," she said to herself. John offered, "The darkness always presses down, but it will be light soon. It will be light soon." That's the end of the story. But isn't it great that that isn't really the end of the story? A day later, the sun rose. And though we may still find ourselves in a grievous spot in God's unfolding plan, we know that light will finally win out over darkness. We can believe in the true one whose word is trustworthy. We can follow the new king whose kingdom will never end. We can worship the Savior who created us, loved us, rescued us from our sins. Lord, we thank you that you came. Sometimes it's easy to just lose sight of how dark and ugly hopeless this world can be. And just even reflecting on that time, how that would have just seemed so dark to them, but that's the world without you. That's the world without Jesus. Emptiness and brokenness and no hope, nothing but death and sorrow and loss and sin and people shouting, "Crucify," just evil. And you overcame all that. And so we just love you. Want to worship you here during this Christmas time. And I know our efforts to worship, to sing, to pray, to do anything, just all those efforts fall so short of what you deserve. But we just offer what we have. Think about you, focus on you for a little bit. And we thank you for your gift of your life, your gift of relationship, your gift of a new kingdom that we get to walk in, that's not a kingdom of death and darkness and loss. And we love you. We thank you for what you've done for us. Pray that we would just enjoy you this Christmas season. We ask all this in Jesus' name.